Greetings, and may the peace of Christ be with you. Welcome to Holy Family Radio. This is Deacon Jim Thorndale, and I'm privileged to be your host today. I warmly invite you to enter into another conversation in living the Catholic life. Today we're going to have a conversation with a young man who probably can help us get back on track and what we're trying to accomplish. His name is Marco Riolo. Marco, it's good to have you here.
Wonderful to be here.
When I'm talking about these New Year's resolutions, you know what that's like for many people.
Oh, yes, of course.
They have all the greatest intentions in the world.
All the greatest intentions in the world, and hoping that some type of ideal they've created in their mind will work out for them, and they'll become better in whatever they're thinking.
Exactly. You know, Marco, before we get into how we can take a look at better fitting ourselves with food and exercise and all those different areas, you know, it's important that people know who they're listening to.
Oh, yes.
And what qualifies you to speak about this. So if you could enlighten our listeners a little bit to what it is that makes you, what brings you here today.
My name is Marco Riolo. I live here in Grand Rapids, Michigan. My life has been based around athletics, nutrition, and food science. I was an athlete in Catholic Central with football, wrestling, track, and rugby, and then landing into my collegiate years as more extracurricular activities, rugby, and, you know, just having a lot of fun. Yeah. From the nutrition side and food science, I've been for the past 14 years working in food science with a great company and having a lot of fun helping people, yeah, both here in the area and around the world.
You know, first of all, I have to question your sanity, because my son also played rugby, and I'm not sure that that's the epitome of taking a hit every time you're on the field.
That's a wonderful time, a good time indeed, had by all.
Yes, of course. So, anyways, this company you're working for,
we're a food science based company. We've been around for about 25 years. I've been with them for the past 14, really because of my sister's migraine headaches, and when we really first started working in the field of balanced nutrition and health, it was. To us, we're an Italian family. We eat well, pasta, meatballs, and, you know, raised around the good stuff.
I'm Greek, so we delight that.
Yeah. Perfect. So in that sense, it was, you know, you're just trying to get the good stuff in your body. And in our family, we were doing our best, but my sister was getting migraines and brother with kind of hypoglycemia and, you know, my dad with some back issues. And mm-hmm. As our family started getting better, it opened up a blessing to our family, because we were now seeing something else we could help people with.
Yeah.
And it's been amazing.
As you started on this journey, there must have been something that was inspiring you to learn more about this.
I think the biggest inspiration, even in general in our lives, even the typical person with a New Year's resolution, I think we're always inspired that we want to better our bodies, you know, for Christ, for the better self of faith, but have this working machine that can be, you know, powerful and do the best that it can do.
Yeah.
And that's when you see that starting to happen in your own life and your family and the people around you, it's pretty amazing.
You know, I'm thinking of St. Augustine and his Confessions. Oh. And he wrote and he said that men go abroad to admire the heights of the mountains. They go abroad to look at the power of the seas. They look at the broad tides of the rivers. They look at the depths of the ocean. And they look at the circuitry of the stars, and yet pass over the mystery of their own body. This beautiful,
amen to that.
This
wow.
Beautiful, delicate machine that God created is much more intricate than anything else
truly
we see created. And yet somehow we lose that sense of the mystery of this body. And St. Augustine put it so well in that.
You nailed it with that one.
Yeah.
And I don't think until our later years, I mean, I'm 32 now, until our later years we really understand.
You're saying later years to a man like me?
I mean, I think about myself at 20 or even 18, yeah, or even younger, and it was like you're being guided by your parents and possible coaches and people in your, yes, life that are guiding you, but you don't really delve into how powerful this thing is.
That's,
I mean, you,
right,
might know, but it's, yeah, the later years that you start to understand, wow, I wish I would have, or if there could have only been that technology or that information,
yeah,
because research is always growing and developing. You know, our understanding is so,
exactly,
as time goes on.
And we do miss the mysteries of the body until normally something happens to it. Or isn't that the truth? Something either has to happen, or we have to have some type of revelation that this is not just a machine we don't have to take care of.
Right. And you know, that's God. God's doing that one for you. He'll let you know when you need to slow down or just relax,
yeah,
or focus in on something, so that maybe later on in life you're not worse off than where you could be.
Exactly. So as you're going on this journey, tell us, did this change of lifestyle or eating habits or exercise help the people you talked about in your life?
Oh, yes. I'd have to imagine that the biggest component was that we believed we were a very healthy family. We were very well-fed. We were athletic. We were doing all the things that you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But when we started working with more balanced nutrition and working with in the field we were working, it enhanced our lifestyles, enhanced our lives. I mean, it certainly did.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. So now you've told me that you're working with other people besides your family now.
Oh, yes, yes. It's been a wonderful adventure. Over the years, a dear friend of mine, and by no means are we making claims that, you know, health claims or cures or anything by that matter, but we know that when the body gets the right nutrition or gets good stuff in itself, it's, you know, it gets what it needs. Exactly. It knows how to use it. It's a machine. You put good fuel in, you get good results.
Exactly.
So a friend of mine, I was riding up a chairlift when I was about 20, and this is really another key point. The mile marker was she had Crohn's disease, and Crohn's disease is a very mean digestive issue that just rips you apart.
Right.
I mean, anyone that even hears us knows what I'm talking about in that sense. Well, she was medicated with about 18 different medications. She was young. We were riding up. She says, well, I have Crohn's disease, and I don't know what to do. I said, well, I think we can help. I'm learning more about how food science works and what we do. And she says, well, great. She says, let's get in touch. I said, all right. So we got together. And it was probably about 4 weeks later that she was off. She was down to 6 meds, feeling great. And she still has Crohn's. But the fun part was that it was helping balance out her body, you know, giving the right nutrition, that balanced form for that, you know, for the body.
Yeah.
And it was just more moments like that. There was other times with friends, you know, digestive things where, you know, they're talking to put a scope down his throat. They're checking out, you know, diverticulitis or colitis because his grandfather and his dad had it. And, you know, he was losing weight rapidly. And when I hadn't seen him in 14 years, he was a dear friend of mine. And when I ran into him, I said, well, what's going on? What's happening? You know, I haven't seen you. I said, I'm not doing good. I'm just, you know, I'm all messed up. I'm just, you know, I'm on all sorts of, you know, they want to operate on me. I was like, well, I said, I got something that can help. I don't know if, you know, this is something you're interested in, but let's get together.
Exactly.
And we shared with him what was going on, and we were friends, so, you know, trust me with what we were doing. He said, well, all right, whatever you have for me. And we started, you know, it was 2 weeks in that his digestive issues started to level out, start feeling good. And today, night and day difference. I mean, putting on muscle and feeling great and not even the issues there.
You know, you brought to my attention as you were speaking about what the body needs, and it's funny because it says in Proverbs, it's chapter 30, verse 7 through 9, it says, two things I ask of you, deny them not to me before I die. Put falsehood and lying far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Provide me only with the food I need. Lest being full, I deny you. You know, and you can take that in many ways. The food I need is really the food we need to nourish this machine.
Exactly.
This mysterious machine that God gives us. And you know what? When we nourish it properly, it responds properly.
Completely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Completely. Always does. It's amazing what the machine does. I reference back to some of my younger athletes that I work with that, you know, sometimes when I come across them, their parents or et cetera, they say, well, you know, you've had a great sports career. You know, can you give advice to my son or can you help our family better sports? Well, I go, yes, of course. I said, what's going on? And you hear these energy drinks. You hear we won't even list them because they're horrible in themselves. But you hear them, these gas station energy drinks and these things that are, you know, these fire up the body because that's what they see these athletes doing and everything else.
Yeah.
And that's the drink they need. And, you know, that's garbage fuel. You have a high-powered athlete, and they're consuming stimulants and all this other stuff. And it's like, well, how is that benefiting you?
Yeah.
And just like the scripture, you know, what can we put in our bodies are fueling it?
What it needs.
Exactly. So I'd have to imagine when you were – what sports did you play when you were in your younger years?
I played football. I played baseball. Pretty much those are the two I kept myself in line with there.
Right.
And played a little bit of college, and it was just a great time.
Yeah. And I'm sure while you were eating and the good things you were putting in your body, which is, you know,
you know,
that time,
I'll tell you, to be very honest with you, when you're that age, you put everything in your mouth.
Exactly.
I wasn't conscious of what was in it. I was only conscious that it was going to fill me up.
Exactly. So when we work right along with people, that's where we're trying to help them understand what that is that's going in them, how muscle is better performed in a particular kind of way, how you're stimulating those muscles, how you're feeding not just the muscles, but the brain, the digestive system. A balance for the body is really what we're going after.
You know, and when you said that, and I include myself in this, young men need to have their brains fed because we don't think properly sometimes when they're that age.
No.
And we don't think of what we're doing for nutrition-wise.
Exactly.
So this is important for the young men to listen to, or particularly in athletics. Even if not, it's really about letting your body grow at the rate it should and the proper way to grow.
Sure. I look back on my high school career of, you know, football, wrestling, track, rugby. But, you know, wrestling in particular was so taxing on the body because you were either trying to make weight, or if you were made weight and you were in the right weight class,
right,
you're trying to make sure that your muscles and your body's performing at a level that's outdoing your opponent.
Yep.
So, again, it's like from a parenting point of view, looking back on it, you're like, well, how could I help inspire my children or my kids or my young adults to make sure that they're eating properly, enough protein, all that kind of stuff?
You know, when you say that, I think about some of my buddies that were in wrestling, and it came down to a weight sometimes. And I think about this. It was minimum input, and you expect maximum efficiency. And that's difficult.
Truly.
Yeah.
I was just reading a study that they say when you're dropping weight or you're dehydrating your body a night before, that your body will take 24 hours to recover.
Mm.
So it's like, If you're losing weight, you're just like you said.
Yeah.
You know, your maximum is not going to be there, even though you want to perform at it.
Exactly.
So, you know, that's really inspiration to our young athletes, is that healthy eating, trying to really focus on the things that are right as an athletic body should take.
So you'd be more from what you're advocating is more of a natural way of bringing ourselves to health.
Sure.
Not through medication. I mean, I know there's a time when medications are going to be necessary.
Right.
But I think many people overlook the healing power of proper food, again, diet, exercise, even some supplements that can be natural supplements that can help.
Truly. I think that's very valid in the sense that in our recent day, in terms of 50 years ago or to where we are today, and you'll read this in a lot of different things, is that our soil and our food are different because the soil doesn't have the nutrients it used to.
Right.
So we see supplements becoming more prominent because it's a way to help balance the body. I mean, how many people take a multivitamin?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, little pill, the one a day or whatever else there, or the gummies. I think that was the recent one I just heard that people are taking. But
I have to tell you a story. I read about vitamins, and there's different forms of vitamins. There's a tablet type, and then there's a powder type, and then there's colloidal.
Oh.
And this was rather an interesting story. It was at a sporting event where they had probably 50,000 people. And, of course, they have outhouses. And when they empty the outhouses, they have to screen it all. And it said they found more vitamins.
Yes.
In they screen through because they don't break down in the body.
No.
So many of those vitamins we take in a capsule form.
Are going right through you. Right through you. Completely.
Excuse anybody if you're eating lunch right now. That's the reality of the story.
Well, yeah, exactly. And that powdered form is the is where we work in, is more powdered nutrition where it's balanced and it's soluble.
Yeah.
When you're taking the tablets, there's a statistic that goes you absorb between 10 and 15% of a pill if your body can break it down.
Exactly.
And then however many you're taking, which, you know, some people I've helped kind of work out of those systems into just more of a shake form or in a, you know, some people smoothie, you know, whatever they're taking it in as. And it's easier. It's simpler. And then your body's absorbing 90 to 98% of what we're working with.
And that's what the colloidals, which were a liquid form.
Yeah.
Those are another one that really absorb very quickly into the body.
Yeah. Solubility within that stomach. That's the key component to it all.
Absolutely. So obviously, if you're talking nutrition, you've got to live it.
Oh, yeah, every day.
So tell me, what's a routine for you every day?
Routine for me every day, and I try to share this with as many people as I can, is where you're – or I'll come back to it.
Okay.
When I was in college, we were doing high-level lifting and bodybuilding, really big and strong and lifting weights and eating three gigantic meals a day. And I mean, you know, knocking down the calories. I mean, we were a best friend of mine and I, we were following a natural bodybuilding guide to eating. So lots of protein, lots of food, lots of calories, working, you know, I think it was 2 to 3 hours a day, 6 days a week, and just hammering it out.
Yeah.
Well, when I hit 25 or 26 years old, I had met with a dear friend of mine that was a triathlete, Ironman, was training for Ironmans, mm-hmm. and he was also my physical therapist, and my mom was very concerned because I was weighing 269 pounds, and she said, "What are you going to do with all this muscle on your body, Marco?" And I said, "Well, I don't know, just maybe play rugby with it or something." She says, "Well, you got to meet so-and-so and get together with him and find out, you know, a better way of living life." I said, "Oh, mom knows best." And as we all do, we follow what mom
says. Especially Italian mom.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. So I met with him, and what he asked me, he said, "Marco," and this is a lot of times even going back to our New Year's resolution thing, is what is your goals? What do you want out of what you're doing? You know, mm-hmm. what are you trying to attain with your life?
Exactly.
So maybe play contact sports and throw people around and have fun, or I don't know. In your mind as an athlete, you're thinking, you know, you're still in a contact sport kind of atmosphere. And I said, "Well, I guess I want to be able to sustain, you know, my life into 35 and 45, and how do I plan for those coming years?" You know, he says, "Well, you need to start planning that way then." I said, "All right, well, what's that look like?" He says, "Well, you need to cut your workouts down to an hour, maybe multi-level sports," because I was getting into triathlons and stuff at that time. He says, "Your body's not going to lug around 269 pounds of muscle very happily. You want to kind of drop down." I said, "Well, God." So that's, I don't know about that.
That wasn't on your radar.
It wasn't on the radar at that time. And like all things and resolutions, you have to be ready for it and you have to be wanting to do it. And I switched over to an eating plan where I was and this goes to that question, what do I do these days mm-hmm. from my side, is in the morning I try to have a nice, you know, grain, granola or eggs and whatever it might be. So a simple breakfast. And what that does is it starts the metabolism in the body, kind of gets things fired up.
Right.
Then about 2 or 3 hours later, I work with the nutrition we work with along with a little piece of fruit. And another 2 to 3 hours later, I do a lunch, which, you know, with this weather, typically chili soup or some type of spaghetti, but, you know, some type of meat and a good good vegetable. And then again, another 2 to 3 hours later, again, nutrition and as well as some type of fruit. And then a nice dinner that's a protein and a green. And I got into this rhythm of moving the body like a furnace. You know, you're always stoking the fire right. with more wood. And just like your body, you keep feeding it, it's going to start changing because it doesn't want to, you know, it doesn't think it's starving. A lot of people we have, and a lot of my clients, a lot of them, and maybe you out there as well, listeners, is that you want to only eat on breakfast. And you're like, "Well, I'll just wait till dinner." Or you're like, "Well, I'm going to eat a big dinner, maybe a snack during the day."
Yeah.
Well, what happens, you know, and this is what I was seeing, was that your body starts to think it's starving. It's like, "Well, I don't know. I got to store all this fat in your body because it's storage cells. Well, I'm going to store it." And that's why you start getting bitter, putting on weight and et cetera.
That's right.
So when I worked over to this other plan of multiple times throughout the day and as well as share with my clients is that it's helping the body grow. And every person's different. Everyone will follow something different, but it's just feeding that body.
Yeah. First of all, I want to tell our listeners I'm talking with Marco Riolo, and we're talking about health and nutrition and fulfilling those New Year's promises. Marco, I want to go back to this. You know, in this culture, people today think they have to eat at 8 and then at 12 o'clock and then at 6 o'clock. I mean, that's ingrained, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Right.
Rather than eating a little bit when you're hungry. And what it'll do is the sensation then will be gone that you're hungry. We don't eat smart sometimes. We eat according to the clock rather than our appetite.
Exactly.
And that becomes a detriment to us.
It truly does. I mean, you are the more, and just like in prayer and with God, is the more we listen to this machine, like we'd said earlier in the show, is the more we listen to ourselves and listen to who we are and what we want and what we need. You know, it might not be that Snickers bar and it might not be that, you know, tall glass of Coke, but it might be water and it might be a piece of fruit. You know, it might be, I need a sandwich right now. I'm not waiting until noon to have my lunch. I might have a little thing in between here. And you just keep that energy moving because it's, you're really a working machine.
You know, it's funny. It's that some people really do become addicted to those types of foods you're talking about. Cokes, high in caffeine, can become very addictive to them. Candy, chocolate.
Chocolate.
People really can crave that.
Sure.
And they've got to learn to break that break that cycle.
Sure.
And not that not you can't have it anymore, but you've got to learn how to do it in a little bit of moderation.
Right, exactly. I think one of my favorite Lenten resolutions I hear from some of my clients is, well, I'm going to give up chocolate, and I'm going to give up candy, and I'm going to give up this, this, and this. And, you know, that's a different topic, but it's just the idea that we have this perception that chocolate, pop, and all these things are these, we can't have them. So now in our brain, we can't have them. We want them more. Mm-hmm. And then on the reality side, the reason we're craving those is we're probably not eating healthy. Mm-hmm. You know, your body is so complex that it needs a balanced form of nutrition, eating well, keeping good fluid water. And you'll find that when you start craving these things, it's likely you haven't eaten enough. You're not hydrated.
Right.
You could just have a really long day and you're not preparing your body for what you need to be getting into.
Yes. You know, I have to tell a story here. It's happened in my own family, but one of our grandkids, his parents are wonderful, but he was eating stones and dirt. Oh. And when I looked it up, what's happening is there's a mineral deficiency. And even at a young age, they can understand that they need to try and replace those minerals in their body.
Wow.
And so once the minerals are replenished in their body, the habit stops.
Good.
But it's documented in many areas. So that's another understanding that we can lack something and not know what it is.
Truly.
And try and replace it with something.
Truly. And that's a very valid point. I mean, we'll see that in our nutrition side where we're working with people and having fun. And the fun comes in is when we have – why my sister was getting migraines was she was likely deficient in a few of the key ingredients that, you know, we work with. Or she wasn't getting the right foods. You know, same thing with diabetes and metabolic syndrome, the rise of, you know, the blood sugar issues. We see a lot of that kind of stuff where people aren't feeding their bodies and now they're turning into these – you know, the just getting all whacked out.
Yeah, they are. And they get it can lead to anxiety, depression, all these different things
sure.
can happen when your body isn't attuned.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm thinking of in the book of, let's see, is it?
Got so many great passages here.
Yes, there are. Well, in James, I love the book of James, and he says in chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, he says, bear with me a second here. I'm looking for it right now again.
Amen.
I had it here, and now I've lost it. But here, oh, I'm sorry, here it is. He says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister has nothing to wear and has no food for the day, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat well, but you do not give them the necessities of the body, what good is it? You know, there is also, I mean, he's talking about spiritual things as well as nutrition.
Wow.
And, you know, if we're looking at people and they say, you know, I'm not eating well, we have a responsibility to help them, I think.
Truly.
Or at least, we can't be the overseer.
Right.
But we could certainly lead them to some better nutrition.
Man, hopefully our little show today is inspiring in some way in that sense.
Yes.
I think that's a powerful, powerful prayer. I mean, on the most extreme side, we see, you know, the homeless and things like that. But we, in our own sense, we abandon ourselves at times and don't attune ourselves to helping others. You know, we're not able to focus on what our needs are, and we're missing that. So when someone reaches out to us and says, well, I need help, or I'm not doing well, or I'm overweight, or I have type 2 diabetes, or I have cancer or heart disease or whatever else you can think of, well, a lot of times in life, we think we'll pray for them and maybe they can figure it out.
Right.
When there's a multitude of options, there's ways to really help direct people, and that's where we come alongside individuals to really work with them and, you know, get those resources for what they need.
You know, I want to give some acknowledgement, too. There's a beautiful place downtown Grand Rapids, and it's God's Kitchen, and where they feed the homeless and the hungry. And I have to say, I've served in there before, and my wife also serves there, and a lot of my friends serve there. And you see that they put out a healthy diet.
Sure.
It may be the only time they really have the chance to eat healthy, but it's the fruits and the vegetables, some type of protein, and some type of starch that really keeps it balanced on that. Because we see the necessity of feeding the people properly.
Truly.
It'd be so much easier just to give them a bunch of food with no essential vitamins in it or minerals.
Truly.
Yeah.
Truly. And that's a great point is being able to work with people. We, in our foundation, we have, it's been around since 1995.
Well, what is the name of the foundation?
The Cloggers Foundation. We work We work with people globally through our feeding stations and through our nutrition. So what we work with is helping, you know, everywhere from Haiti, Myanmar. We just donated over $600,000 to the relief and or $600,000 in relief to the Philippines during their recent thing, as well as while the Haiti was going on with their disasters. We also received two humanitarian awards from Pope John Paul II for our humanitarian efforts.
Isn't that wonderful?
So it's on a global level, you know, through the Cloggers Foundation and our nutrition. What we do is we look for ways to reach out, and I think we're feeding anywhere between 41 and 43,000 women and children a day through our feeding stations, and a lot of them here in the U.S. as well.
Yes.
So it's, you know, there's always options out there, and that's a lot of even what we're talking about today is that there's options for people.
Yeah.
There is hope regardless of if you're in a dire straits or if you're an average individual trying to just get a better lifestyle out of it.
You know, Marco, and I ask this question to you. You know, you don't have to be wealthy to eat good.
No.
It just takes some forethought.
Truly.
And really looking at what you're about to consume and how you could change your habits. Is that correct?
Oh, it is absolutely correct. A lot of times, and this is where, again, accountability, you know, this going back to the New Year's resolution is, if you put a New Year's resolution out there that you're going to get in shape, or I'm going to lose weight, or in general, I just want to start feeling better, or a multitude of things that you can think of that revolve around health, is that when we put together a set of goals or a vision of what we want, the accountability in setting a game plan to that. So if we're going to eat healthy, well, what's that mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, does that mean a TV dinner at, 11 o'clock at night that's stacked full of sodium?
Is there something wrong with that?
No. depends on how you look at it.
Yeah.
You know, but in the sense, if you prepare your food in advance, you know, there's great ways to do chicken breasts and oven cook. There's, Brussels sprouts, greens, broccoli. There's tons of different salad combinations. There's plates. And if you're like the Greeks or the Italians or in general, any multiple, I'm sure culturally there's an incredible recipe book that you can follow.
That's right.
And it's simple. 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. People wait 20 to 30 minutes in a McDonald's line or any of these other fast food joints. And it's like, if you just spent 15 minutes, this idea of slow cook nation,
preparing
your food, you would feel better, eat better, and
it would taste better because it's fresh when you bring it to the table.
Truly,
yeah,
truly,
it is amazing on that.
Yeah.
So do you do a lot of your own cooking?
Well, yes, in recent day, yes, I do. Friends over the years have taught me interesting ways to cook fast, which is exciting. So I usually like chicken breasts, and I like meatballs, which are just fantastic. But chicken breasts and basic meals that can be whipped up and prepared. I mean, I'm a bachelor currently, so it's in the sense of whatever I can cook from the stove. From a family perspective growing up, you know, my mom and dad, they have all their recipes.
Of course. The good Italian recipes.
Yes, all of them. And it's so delicious. And it's like, well, how do you cook for one person? Or how do you cook for 5 or 10? And by no means am I able to speak on a level of a mother with, you know, 3, 5, 10 children somewhere in there or family. But it's like, you know what's good and you know how to cook. And it's like growing up on that, even as, you know, young athletes and kids or in general.
Yes.
You have that perception. You just have to be accountable to those things that you know. Have to really delve into what you're exactly. feeding your body.
You know, you touched on another thing. And again, I'm talking with Marco Riolo here at Holy Family Radio.
Yes,
and
please.
We're having a great time talking about nutrition and health and keeping that New Year's resolution on becoming more fit and eating better. So we're talking on different recipes, Marco being from Italian descent and myself coming from a Greek heritage.
Yeah.
We love food.
We love.
And
love.
It's you know, it's really about a lot of it has to do with moderation.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing our nation has a problem with because everything's got to be supersized.
Moderation.
You need the bigger fries. We need the bigger burgers. Everything has to be supersized because we sense that if we can get a bigger portion, it's going to be healthier for us.
Oh, gosh, yes. And depending on our level of output, input versus output, if you're putting in more food and calories than you're outputting, your body's going to adapt because it's saying, well, you're trying to store up food, so you're going to get a little bit bigger. If you're putting out a lot of output, meaning a lot of exercise and not eating a whole lot, your body's going to turn tables and not be able to have a strong output.
Right.
So finding that balance and that idea of moderation, Deacon Jim. Oh, boy. back in, let's see here, I had helped start a circus collective in Grand Rapids. I was playing rugby, yoga. I was doing lifting. We were doing outdoor urban workouts. I mean, we were active every day. I mean, it was just an absolute blast. I had at one stage, unknowingly doing this, hurt my back. And I wasn't getting the right advice from a chiropractor, and I wasn't getting the right advice for what I should be doing, and getting cracked and pop, and just going back to working out. And by no means is there anything wrong with those communities of doctors; that they all have their different places. But soon enough, along with my very rigid workouts and beating up my body, I ruptured and herniated a disc in my back.
Ooh.
So I went from 3-hour day training and all that stuff down to
almost nothing down
to zippy. And that's, you know, like we talked earlier, that's when God wants you to focus in on something. Well, I started doing my recovery and rehab, and my eating habits had to change, and, you know, I had to change up everything. I started seeing a great another chiro for physio, train out pain, and then St. Mary's as well, and it was just this great combination of rehab. Well, to run you through all of that, if you know what I'm talking about, the rehabilitation component, when you're not doing any activity, your body, if you're still eating that way, mm-hmm. not moderating what you're eating, you're putting on weight.
Yeah.
And it's like, as I started not, following what I was doing, because my mindset was still how it used to be, I started putting on weight. And it was like 15 pounds later, and I was like, well,
what's happening?
What's going on here? And it was at that stage that I met with my mom and a friend, and I said, well, you know, I said, how do you do this? You know, how do you moderate these things? I mean, I already had a good idea, but I mean, how do you guys do it? How do you follow? And they said, well, you got to follow calories and follow what you're eating and consuming. And I knew this from my years of moderation. I was already eating healthy, but just how do you tell people about that? That was my big question, is how do I communicate, you know, this information to others that might have been in my own shoes. Mm-hmm. And soon, you know, the weight was gone and everything else, because I was able to be physically active again. Yeah. But it's that idea of moderating your body so you know what's going into it. Yeah. What's God's plan for you? What are you moderating that system with? What are you feeding it?
Yeah.
You know, sure, you might have chocolate. Mm-hmm. You might have desserts. You might have...
But not as much.
Not as much.
Yeah.
You might save those times for, you know, a special day. You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
You know, another thing I heard, too, and I've read about this, and doctors have written about it. It's sometimes it's not what you're eating, it's how you're eating it, too. Sometimes forget to chew, especially children. Some Americans can tend to, you know, I'll tell you, be honest with you, growing up at Catholic Central, we had a 20-minute lunch, maybe 25 minutes, maybe the same thing for you, and we had a sack lunch full of about 3 sandwiches, and you learn to eat very fast.
Truly.
And you know, at that age, you can do it. But the problem was your brain wasn't telling you that you're full, because you hadn't reacted yet to the food you put in your body. And so typically you overeat. Same thing when you're sitting at the table. We all have to learn to slow down, chew our food more, and then let our stomach catch up with our brain.
Truly.
Many times.
Truly. No, that's spot on. That's exactly – and more water, more fluid and liquid. That's if you drink water when you're hungry or you're feeling hungry, drink water. And if you still feel hungry after you're done drinking water – then eat something.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great way to kind of test your motive of how your body feels, is just hydration.
Yeah.
You know, and another statistic I had seen was that when you're thirsty, you're already dehydrated. Your body was beyond that point. You should have been drinking water before you were actually thirsty.
Got it.
So that consistent water intake will help level out those eating things as well.
So as you say that, I have a sip of water here. You know, it is amazing when you said that too, because I tend to drink water when I'm thirsty. And
truly.
Now that you say that, I'm going to reevaluate that, because I can see what you're saying is that you don't want to get to that point.
Yeah.
That's not healthy.
Exactly. And how do you reach out? How do you reach out to your kids? How do you reach out to your high school athletes? How do you reach out to your college athletes or your loved ones or someone you care about, and you know, in a sense, inspire them. And it's, I think the biggest thing is you have to be able to live that lifestyle. You have to be able to be an example or accountable to what you're talking about,
right,
and then provide those resources. So if it is a college athlete and they're trying to really build strong muscle, they're trying to outperform someone else, and they're reaching to a, you know, some type of stimulant of some kind or whatever it is that they believe is going to help them, you know, there's a lot of natural ways to feed that body. Yeah. Same thing with the high school things. Imagine how inundated we are with media, with photographs, with, you know, how people are examples of their sports and the perception that we have. And like what you said earlier, you know, we're not able to focus in on this machine, the mystery of the machine.
Yeah.
We have to be able to reach to those kids and reach to ourselves and say that this mystery of a machine or this blessing God has given us, how do we feed that? What are some of the key natural things we can be putting into our body?
Yeah, it is, and that's so important. Again, I'm going back to Corinthians when St. James is talking. He says, do you not know that the runners in the stadium all run in the race, but only one wins the prize? Run so as to win. Every athlete exercises discipline in every way. They do it to win a perishable crown, They do it to win a perishable crown, but an imperishable one. Thus, I do not run aimlessly. I do not fight as if I were shot at boxing. No, I drive my body and train it. For that's an understanding of both spiritual and the physical training, is that we are given these bodies to take care of them. And these are the temples of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And God did not intend us to abuse these. He intended us to use these for His glory. And they're supposed to glorify God. And that's what you're talking about.
Truly.
Is an athlete can glorify God with his body.
Truly.
Because he's willing to drive himself.
Truly.
It can't become a fixation.
Right.
In other words, it can't be for self-gratification.
Right, right.
So that can become a problem at times.
For the glory of God, as it would be, you know, a little prayer before you start your workout or what you're doing. And, you know, the idea that we have to take care of our bodies, and some people might take that in a literal sense of, well, contact sports are not taking care of your body. Or, oh, that working out too hard is not taking care of your body. Well, I'd have to imagine that as the football, like we're about to get into the Super Bowl here soon, and rugby with its World Cup, and
right,
as well as soccer being down in Brazil this year, is that every sport is glorifying how the human body's capability and physically can work and
That's
perform
right.
and be amazing, you know, tip-top condition. I was working with a heptathlete out of Canada, Canadian Nationals, and my gosh, what a sport. I mean, seven different sports you're competing in. I mean, it was incredible. And the discipline and the training that went into that, you know, the level of commitment that's going into that there. And when we think about how we're treating our bodies, is we're committing to helping our bodies grow strength, not drugs, not, you know, not out there doing bad things, not physically harming it, not, you know, in the sense of, you know, just bad stuff.
Right.
In the sense of how are we building this beautiful machine? And it continually makes me think about how as athletes and as individuals and as families, we're all competing in that race in life.
That's right.
It's just a matter of what those gifts God gave us.
You know, Marco, when you talk about that, our professional athletes and all that, they've been given a gift from God. It's a charism they have to be what they are, and it's a well-trained athlete. And, you know, in many ways, too, they witness to how well they take care of themselves as to the glory of their body, for God, and hopefully they use them the proper way. 99% of the athletes never get injured. I mean, they live healthy lives and everything else, and they go on for healthy careers, but they've learned to take care of their bodies because it is for them, it's their, the way that they earn a living.
Truly.
And it's wonderful for them. But so I will never say that any type of contact sports is against what God would have, but we certainly have to be careful when we're doing that.
Truly.
In the context of what we're doing.
Truly. And I think we were talking that just about before the show, is that even today, you still work out today.
Yes, I do.
It's incredible to think, is my grandfather, when we were growing up, I was 8 years old, I think, and I was being brought into a Vic Tanny's in Dearborn, which would be a Bailey's or a Gold's Gym now. And he was probably in his 70s and lifting and still benching and all the things that went along with it. And the one thing he says, Marco, he says, you know, it's technique and you have to stay focused, and you have to do consistency in your reps and make sure that you're doing good things yes. consistently. And he said, see all the, and then these guys were gigantic, huge.
Of course.
Huge, gigantic muscles, you know. He says, just stay focused on what you're doing and how you're working out and making sure the consistency is there. And I'm walking around with a 70-year-old man that is by no means just powerful what he was, but it was inspiring. A young age, seeing an athlete, you know, yeah. that you could work out till your later years. I mean, you know,
what I find too, and my wife is an advocate of it also. We have down in our basement, we have a treadmill, we've got a gazelle, we've got weights, we've got leg machines and all. I mean, we have it, and we both do something every day,
right.
Because we find that we're more active. We're more attentive. We have more energy, and we eat properly that way also, because we just understand we just went through this workout. Let's not destroy the whole thing by eating improperly.
Right.
And so it really drives us to try and live a better. Not that people are going to say, geez, aren't they wonderful, but it's that we enjoy a lifestyle that keeps us healthy. And by the grace of God, we can continue to do that until he calls us home.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
A little note I was making was that in our lives, what we're so, you know, what's happening is that I think the perception of it is as you're growing up and as it's really you need a guide or a coach along the way. I mean, we all played sports. I mean, the sense of whatever it was. And we had a coach that was helping instruct us on how to play a sport, was guiding us through the technique, was guiding us through those components. And even you working out in your house is an example of those earlier years of activity.
Mm-hmm.
And even as professional athletes and in general, bodybuilding, fitness models, rugby, football, soccer, baseball, the gymnasts, Olympics, all the other things, is that even though we only see the game, we only see the end result,
yeah.
what we're not seeing is the amount of money invested in the trainer, the nutritionist,
yes.
the actual, you know, where they're living, how they're living, what they're cared for. You know, there's a whole docket list. And in our mind, we don't have the correct perception of, well, what does it take to get there?
That's right.
Again, it gets back to the idea of our earlier in the show, is what's our New Year's resolutions? We got to have a defined plan of yep. where we're going and what we're doing. What is this?
Exactly. You bring to mind something. I worked in my younger years, I worked at a golf course. And I used to have guys come in, they'd play a round of golf once a week, and they'd come in, they'd be cursing and swearing because their game doesn't get any better. And I'd say, look, first of all, once a week, your game's not going to get better. But secondly, I said, do you realize that the great golfers of the world will take 300 or 400 balls and hit the same shot for 2 hours just to continue to work on that one shot? And they have a hard time increasing their game.
Right.
So, you know, it's
right.
really what you're saying. What goes on behind the scene is never noticed by most people. They just think it's a natural phenomenon that they're as good as they are.
Truly, truly. And that's where people really lose their vision of their resolutions.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I have this goal that I want to be this. And it's like, what type of work or what type of interest have you put behind that? That is a game plan.
Yeah.
You know, what is that that you're going to do to get there?
Yeah.
And, what did they say? Is it, 10,000 hours creates a level of perfection, not perfection, but it's this idea that if you invest 10,000 hours into something, that's what a professional athlete yeah. is investing to get yeah. to that level of where they're at. I mean, think about in your own life where you've invested 10,000 hours. And even though that sounds like a
sleep.
Exactly.
I'm good at that.
Exactly. You start to wrap your mind around what does 10,000 look like. And it's like if you spent 30 minutes a day, or you spent an hour a day, or whatever that is, for however many years every day.
Yeah.
If you get into the rhythm of a good eating plan, working out well, good nutrition, or in general activity, you know, at that stage, you're not only glorifying God through your actions, but yes. you're helping prepare that body for those later years as
Absolutely.
You're moving forward.
Again, I want to mention I'm with Marco Aurelio. We're talking about health and nutrition. We're talking about keeping that New Year's pledge. Here it is, and getting on the end of January. And how many have kept that right now? Be honest with yourself. Have you gone to the gym like you say you're going to do? Or are you eating healthier? So those are the things we're talking about. But what I want to ask Marco now is give me an example of what you would do with somebody you would help and train.
A lot of times when I'm coaching with people is – Come right alongside them. I think the biggest things in the beginning is identifying their primary interests. You know, what are you doing? Where are you going? And how are you going to get there? You know, if someone is like, well, I'd like to lose weight. Well, what's that look like? You know, is it a couple pounds? Is it a lot?
Yeah.
Or if a person comes to me and says, you know, I'm looking to increase my sports performance. Or it's as simple as I wish my immune system was stronger. You know, there's a whole gamut list of things. I mean, even moms with prenatal, it's like, I'm trying to make my baby so they're healthier. Or I'm done having kids in my body. I need a way to help recover.
Exactly.
Well, what is that attainable goal? So we identify in the beginning, you know, what is their goal that they're looking for? From there, we put together a plan. And a plan really just means is what does that look like to them to allow them to grow into that lifestyle? Sure, they're going to have a few bad days like we all do.
Yep.
But what we help is with on the coaching side is to make sure that we're following up with you to make sure you're doing okay. Introduce you to other people that might relate to what you're doing so that you can be encouraged as you go along.
Exactly.
And as we make each of those steps and keep going forward with what we're doing, those things help build a habit. Right. And as that habit is formed after the month, the second month, that's really when we start to see growth because the person is now confident, they're feeling good, and it's more of a maintenance at that stage.
Yep. Mark, I don't know anymore, but I used to belong to called a racket club, and they had I played racquetball, which I loved to play. Haven't played in a long time now, but you know, at one time I remember there was a very large man, well overweight, and he was playing racquetball. And I talked to him. He said his ambition was to lose weight. Well, I talked to a couple of physicians on that, and they said, listen, the most important thing to tell someone like that is lose the weight and then play the sport.
Sure.
Because he's putting himself at high risk. So I'm suggesting to any men or women who are listening, please don't go out and try and think you're going to play an intense game of racquetball or any type of sport if you're overweight, because it puts an enormous amount of pressure on your heart and in your and everything else. Lose the weight and then start to get into the sports that you think you want to play.
Sure. And I think that's a great point is that, you know, even those kind of things in our minds, I mean, if you and I heard that just now out of the blue as well, we'd think, well, how do I do that? Or how do I even attain something like that? Well, I'd have to imagine just like anything in your life, it took you to get to one point is now you're going to work toward helping better your body. Just like when I hurt my back, I went from high intense levels of sports down to now rebuilding those muscles, rebuilding the body so that my body is sustained. God's slowing you down for a reason. He wants you to take a little time to yourself.
Right.
And so at that stage, do lose the weight. And it might be simple activities like biking, walking. If you don't have access to things because your weather is horrible outside, you know, there's no one that said you couldn't bundle up and go for a walk for 30 minutes. We had a dear friend of mine. He lost a lot of weight, and he increases activity by 30 minutes a day.
Isn't that wonderful?
It was.
He has the energy now.
He has more energy, looks great, feels great. And that's where he began, was little steps, little steps, because it was creating that goal of where he wanted to go.
You know, I had a nice interview with Franciscan sisters, and we were talking about the theology of the body. And
that's beautiful.
It's really an understanding of how we view food also. Is it just something to fill our bodies, or is it nutrition and a gift from God? And I think if we reexamine how we view food and how we consume it, I think we can help ourselves in this journey.
Truly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that is exactly it. Especially with your notes on moderation earlier. I mean, that's a big thing is that there's nothing wrong with desserts every once in a while, but if you're going to eat that dessert every night and for every meal and every dinner.
How about if you eat it first?
I usually have ice cream before I have breakfast sometimes, depending on what Saturday it is.
But, that's right.
You know, it's just that idea of if we can create a moderated type schedule that, you know, a food journal. That's another one.
Yeah.
Food journals are amazing to have.
Explain that a little bit.
If you're out there and you're like, well, if I'm really big, or maybe I'm just trying to improve my performance, or I'm trying to improve what I'm doing, writing down food journal, workout journal, whatever it is you're just creating a cataloged book that allows you to see what you're doing. When we were weightlifting and even any sports, is we would write down when we worked out, how many reps, what it was we were doing, what was the activities for that day. Same thing with eating. We would write down what we ate for breakfast, what we were doing. If you're counting calories or points, or you're counting in general, just trying to follow what you're doing, it allows you to see what you're doing. How are you eating? Mm-hmm. A lot of times, you know, as you're creating that little journal, you can take, what is it, 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper.
Okay.
Take 10 of those, fold them in half, staple them in the middle. You got a book. Easy. Or go out to the store and buy a little tiny spiral-bound notebook. Right. You start writing down your stuff, you start viewing, and the more you recognize it, you'll be surprised how wonky your actual eating regimen was beforehand and how you can kind of fill in
gaps. Would you list everything you eat, even if you grab something on the fly?
I do, because I want to see what I'm eating. Okay. I want to see where I'm putting stuff. I might, you know, my mom laughed at me the other day. She says, Marco, you're counting calories as though you're trying to win a race. So, you know, I mean, I had a gigantic breakfast. And I was like, Mom, you wouldn't believe it. She says, yes, I do believe it. And that's not how you're supposed to be doing it. I laughed. But I mean, nevertheless, you know, when you're writing down things, it's more or less what fits, again, your goals. Yeah. Why, you know, if you're trying to eat better and you're noticing pizza is your main food for the entire day, or maybe energy drinks and Coca-Cola are your drink for the day, you might go, well, this week I drank this many. I'll add water here, here, and here. Mm. And now I can reduce the amount of input. You go, well, I had cake every single day last week, but maybe I'll replace that with fruit. And now one or two of the days, because at the office, you know, maybe they bring desserts into you. Yeah. You go, I'm just going to have fruit today.
So again, you hold yourself accountable.
Exactly. Yeah. Accountable is, you know, 85% of the solution.
That's right. That's right. And it's you know what? It's not easy sometimes. You know, we're talking here as if it's going to be just I won't say a cakewalk, because we don't want to do that, but it's going to be a fruit walk.
Yeah.
But it's difficult. I mean, really, if you have that battle of the bulge, and you've got sedentary, something's got to give.
That truly. Truly. I was working with I've really mentioned names or things like that on this call just because of the overall show, but to keep it focused. But right. Another dear friend of mine, she was, we were working together and she said, Marco, you know, she says, you're so positive. I really want to have a healthier lifestyle. I said, well, how do I do that? I said, well, give me a call. I said, we'll get together and I'll share some insights with you and see what kind of direction you want to take with what we're doing. She says, all right, sounds good. She lost 40 pounds. In less than a month and a half.
Wow.
And she's a big girl. I mean, beautiful too.
Right.
And, you know, month and a half. And then steadily, it kind of panned out 2 to 3 pounds every month after that. So a lot of, when she changed up her eating, we changed up her nutrition, we changed up her working out and added a little more exercise. Those key components for anyone will allow the body to turn over. And those key things, she was cutting out the sugars and the pops, and she was writing down and seeing. And the nutrition we were working with as well that she was taking was just, you know, just feeding the system, feeding the body.
How about the time that you eat?
Yeah.
That's got to be important too, isn't it?
I think time is is interesting, because some of my clients, they're night shifters. I got third shift people that are on a whole different timetable. Okay. I usually say, when you wake up, start doing a 2 to 3 hour split. And if you can do 2 to 3 hour splits, you'll at least be able to pick up wherever you're waking up.
Okay. Okay. How about those people that like to eat just before they go to bed?
You know, there's a lot of theory out on it. And there's a lot of studies that you could say is, you know, 75%? Or no. Two-thirds of your body's activity takes place while you're sleeping.
Wow.
I could have that number wrong. Don't quote me on that. But overall, your body while it's sleeping, imagine how activity.
You just said it.
Yeah. How much your body is taking place while you're sleeping. Recovery, feeding. So, I mean, if you're eating late at night, you know, you're not going to eat a 5,000 calorie meal or, you know, eat, you know, a whole cake. But I mean, if you're some protein and some greens and something, you know, to feed the machine again.
Something healthy
and some great water. Again, it can't hurt just to help feed your body.
That's
as opposed to starving yourself or saying, oh, I'll do it in the morning. Or
for those of you that are listening, that perhaps you want to give Marco a call, I'm going to ask him just give us a contact reference that you might be able to talk to Marco and maybe just walk through what you're experiencing, and maybe he can be of help. But Marco, how would they get hold of you?
If you got a pen and paper sitting there, I'll say my number twice. You can call me at 616-822-4307. Again, 616-822-4307. You can also look me up, Marco, M-A-R-C-O, Riolo, R-I-O-L-O, .com, or under Facebook, facebook.com, Marco Riolo.
Give us that email address again.
Email address, you can contact me at Marco, Riolo, R-I-O-L-O, creativeengineering.com. So again, Marco at R-I-O-L-O, creativeengineering.com. Phone number 616-822-4307. You can text, call, or whatever time of the night you'd like to. I'll be happy to find some way to help you.
Wonderful. You know, and for those of us that might be suffering from that the end of January doldrum and feeling a little bit guilty that we haven't quite fulfilled our ambitions and our goals, you know, it's not too late. It's never too late to be healthy, and it's never too late to get back on a good, nutritious understanding of helping your body. And I think sometimes if you can get over that initial hump, losing those first few pounds, if that's what you want to do, you start to see the progress. Would you find that to be true, that people start to get inspired if they see some weight loss?
Sure. Well, and think about it in terms of, you know, weight loss is a big topic. Diabetes, obesity are huge epidemics that are going on. But, I mean, even the average healthy individual that might be listening, you know, small things with great love, as Mother Teresa would tell us, and even in our own lives, is when we do small steps with great intention, great things will happen. And as long as we can just, again, see our goals, you know, what are we doing? You know, where are we going with that? Where do we want to try to get to? And how are we going to get there? And with those three components, is it's just, how do we fuel that system? Take the little steps. If we fall off the boat, well, God's there to pick you back up, grab onto God, say a little prayer, and start again.
It makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, always.
You know, we were talking about foods and nutrition value and all that, and I think a lot of times when we're buying the canned foods and the pre-made foods, we lose a lot of the nutrition out of that, the value of that food.
Sure. And sometimes based on the food that we're getting, is the canned food, we could certainly buy normal fresh food,
right,
and get the same results. It's just a matter of preparing them.
And I would say a tastier too.
Typically tastier, yeah, as well. That's the beauty behind it, is if you are getting canned goods, it might be very specific for something.
Yeah.
You know, if it's sauces or if it's tomatoes or if it's beans. But I mean, there's also solutions where you can do your own stuff. It just depends on how much time you have.
Great.
If you're trying to find fast food solutions, there are so many great little recipes that you can find on allrecipes.com, I think, is where I just got my recent meatball recipe.
Okay.
But in general, try to create a realistic plan of what you enjoy eating. And vegetarians especially, that's another fun one, is people that are vegetarian, they have, you know, they only can eat specific, you know, they have to follow very regimented type eating. And I think that's the beauty behind it, is that no matter if you're vegetarian or in general
or carnivore,
omnivore, whatever you might be,
right,
is that you just have to be accountable to what you're trying to put your body and eat and consume and feed it.
Wonderful.
We're having a lot of fun here.
Absolutely. Again, I'm with Marco Riolo. We're talking nutrition here, and it's probably near and dear to many of our hearts. If you're tempted right now to turn to that Burger King and McDonald's, maybe you want to rethink it and give Marco a call, because, you know, there are alternatives. And, you know, one of the ways that I think we can all inspire ourselves is we all carry a picture of our families in our wallets or our purse. You know, sometimes just take it out and look at them again and say, you know, I really would like to be around for them.
Truly.
I want to be healthy for them because I want to be active. And I think if we can learn to moderate our food and how we eat and the nutrition that we do, we're going to live healthier lives and happier lives.
Amen to that.
Yeah. So it's important. And that's basically what you're saying to these people. Now, you said you've traveled around the world with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been an adventure. With my over the years and in the 14 years, it's been everywhere from Mexico City, California, to New York, Chicago, Texas, Europe. And at times I have friends that are in those places now that I get to work with. And it's what's so unique is that no matter where you live or who you know, there's always hope. And there's always a way to help inspire someone else. And I think that's what's so incredible about what we get to have in life. You know, God provides us a vehicle and provides us this beautiful body, this machine. And if we can make ourselves a better person, we can also go out and inspire others. And that's the beauty of what I've had the opportunity to do and help people over the years, is just reach out and help others and meet them where their needs are.
Yeah.
You know,
and I'm sure, Marco, you've come against people who are resistant to what you tell them.
Truly. And I think any time with resistance is we have to find the root of the resistance.
Right.
Any evil, any fear, anything that's holding someone back, is when you get down to the root, truly you will be able to help someone, because you'll be caring for their heart, not just, you know, because it's that root of the person that you want to help, you know, grow.
So You have been, you've kept yourself obviously very fit in following this regimen that you're on. Do you ever get cravings that you just say, well, you know what, I'm just going to have to go a little crazy today?
Well, take care of that. I'm human as well.
Of course.
Yes, I'd have to say that, like anyone, it's all things in moderation. When we're looking at how our bodies function and work, is that, you know, I look at it as a part of, I don't have to have it. I don't have to crave it. I don't have to eat it. But it's like, maybe I want to have cake for my birthday, or maybe I want to enjoy something delicious. And in general, that's the beauty of it, is that your body, feed it well and it'll give you good results.
Amen. Well, listen, Marco, I want to thank you for being here. It's been a joy having you here. I hope the people listening have some sense now of that there is hope and moderation and better health through eating and exercising. So again, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I want to thank all our Holy Family listeners out there, and be wise, be safe, and healthy eating. God bless.
God bless.
You've been listening to Living the Catholic Life with your host, Deacon Jim Thorndale, on Holy Family Radio. If you'd like to listen to this program again or share it with a friend, audio copies are available online at holyfamilyradio.net. Thank you for listening.